For the first time during this pandemic, Canada has recorded more new cases of COVID-19 per capita than the United States. For more on what's going on, let's check in with Colin Furness. He's an epidemiologist at the University of Toronto in Ontario, where strict lockdowns are now in place as cases surge. And Dr. Furness, welcome. Let's start with your own province, Ontario. What is fueling this spread?
It is mostly being driven by the UK variant, sometimes called B117, that's about twice as contagious as classic COVID. It's striking younger people, and we have seen it rip through the province with devastating results. Our ICUs are virtually full. We're getting really close to having to triage. It happened around the time we started to open things up. We predicted pretty much to the week with our modeling that this was going to happen, but the government looked at it and said, "We're not sure. Let's wait and see." And so that's the situation we're in.
You mentioned the UK variant. I want to talk with you about what's happening in British Columbia, specifically on the West Coast. The province now has the highest rate of the P1 or Brazil variant, as we know, more cases than all of the United States. It's highly transmissible. How did it get to British Columbia?
That Brazilian variant, which is exactly as you say, it can reinfect. It is a lot more contagious, maybe three times as contagious. We don't know how it got there, but I have my suspicions. We have some really bad holes in our border protection. One of them being that if you have a private plane, you can fly to any airport in Canada you wish. So you can buy your way around those restrictions. Whistler is a very elite, expensive place to be. And I suspect that's probably how COVID made its way there.
We're also hearing that this is vaccine resistant. Can you talk a little bit more about that resistance?
We haven't vaccinated enough people to know how it behaves here yet. That's the current belief. It doesn't mean that vaccines don't work at all. It means that they're less effective. You can combat that by having a higher percentage of people being vaccinated, for example. But my belief is we're all going to need a booster down the road that is able to manage this mutation.
Okay, let's stay there for a moment. Is it possible to contain the surge at this point?
It is. It is still transmitted in ways that we understand. It's a respiratory virus. So if we control mobility, if we control the amount of contact that people have, it will have an effect. Closing schools is probably part of that. That's something Ontario did. It's something that British Columbia has not done. If this takes hold in schools, it could really be messy. But our control measures are starting to work in Ontario, so I do have some optimism.
In terms of strategy, Canada is putting its efforts also into getting a first dose into as many people as possible and is extending the 3 to 4 week interval between doses to 16 weeks. I'd love to know your thoughts on that strategy.
It's a risky strategy. Canada was the first place in the world to say 16 weeks is okay. The reasoning, the logic is quite clear. The reason why we do immunization is not to create immune individuals, it's to get COVID to stop circulating. And so the logic or the belief is that if we can create partial immunity in the population by giving everybody one dose, we can cause COVID to stop circulating sooner. Then we can circle back and do the second dose. But there's a risk, and the risk is when you create an immune population, especially if you're not taking restrictions to control transmission, you're actually giving the virus a fantastic sandbox to start to evolve more to be able to evade the vaccine more. It should work, but it won't necessarily.
Also, another thing, why has the rollout for vaccines been so slow in Canada?
The Canadian approach was to put eggs in lots of baskets. So we made purchases, not large purchases, across a wide number of vaccine candidates. And that meant that we were never going to be at the front of the line because we didn't have the purchasing power in any case. But it also meant that no matter which vaccine was successful, we would be in the line. And so that ended up being a typically Canadian, cautious, prudent approach. But it did mean that early on, the vaccines were not available in the quantities that we wanted. I don't think it was a mistake. I think it was prudent, but it meant that we had to have patience.
Can we end on a somewhat positive note? Canada also has had some major successes. Can you tell us more about those?
I think when we talk about COVID and success in the same sentence, we need to look at Atlantic Canada. There are four provinces that early on said, we're going to control travel into the region. Sometimes they restrict transportation among the provinces. They are achieving COVID zero. And once in a while, a case does get through, but they're on top of it and they will test all the way around that case aggressively. So when the UK variant showed up in Newfoundland, it didn't stay for long. The authorities there were right on top of it because they had the capacity to be on top of it.
Well, if this region sets an example, why are we so challenged with making those hard decisions?
I would say that you have a choice as a government to treat COVID like a political problem or a public health problem. And any government that's chosen to treat it like a political problem, negotiating, bargaining, trying to come up with good news messages for people, that's a losing proposition.
Colin Furnas is an epidemiologist at the University of Toronto in Ontario. Thank you so much for this conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks.